We're so glad to see each and every one of you in attendance this morning. We had an awesome Christmas Eve service last night. The auditorium was just about filled to capacity, and it was a wonderful, wonderful night. How many of you were here last night? Let me see your hands. Boy, you are gluttons for punishment or whatever. No. I'm glad you're here. I have a special word from the Lord for you today. Let's stand for the reading of the word. Matthew Alds is helping me out this morning. Last night, we did not read the entire Christmas story. We read Luke 2, the first seven verses. Matthew is going to pick it up at verse 8 and read the rest of the story. Matthew, please.
St. Luke 2, 8 through 16. And there were the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you, born this day, the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to the God of in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger.
Matthew, you did a really, really good job. Thank you. Bless you. You may be seated. I just heard his mother yell, Good job! Well, almost, okay. This morning we are bringing to a conclusion our Advent series titled The Cast of Christmas. Many of you have been here for all of the messages. If you're visiting with a family this morning, here's what we've been doing during the month of December. We have been simply going back to the familiar old story and looking at the cast that made up the story. We have one more character that we must consider. Well, really not character. I would say characters. That would be the shepherds. I'm calling them for this series the humble ones. When Jesus was born, we have already established the fact that the circumstances were most unusual. There was no family around to celebrate. Donna and I often go to hospitals and we celebrate the birth of a child. And there's usually other family members there, quite often so. Think about it. A child born and no family to celebrate that birth. And the setting, I talked to you about the setting last night. Just plain ridiculous. But God, his Father, said, I will make sure a visit is made by someone to that cave. Now, God's choice is anything but expected. And strangely enough, the only guests at the nativity scene mentioned in the New Testament were the shepherds. I know some of you are saying, Pastor, you don't know your Bible. The wise men were there. No, they weren't. I hate to destroy your Christmas story, but they weren't. They came a year or two later. I repeat, the only ones at the nativity, at the birth of Christ, were these shepherds. And when I began to think on that, it kind of blows my mind. The greatest event in the history of humanity has just happened. The Messiah has just been born. For ages, the Jews had waited for this, and when it finally happens, the birth announcement comes to humble shepherds. There is much written in commentaries about the shepherd's profession, so much that it's kind of confusing. Some say that the shepherds were outcasts of society during that day. Others say it was a very common profession of that day. And there are still others who say it was an honored profession in those times. I see the shepherds standing for the cross-societal average person of that day. The common, ordinary, down-to-earth man who gets up every day, drinks his coffee, goes to work, labors hard, comes home, eats supper, enjoys his family, takes a rest, and does it all over again the next day. Sounds like most of us, doesn't it? Before we go to the text, I must point out one perspective that few understand. You would understand this if you visit the Holy Land to gain biblical perspective. We're very excited. All of the details have come together for our next pilgrimage to the Holy Land, which will be October of this coming year. And all of those details will be revealed or released on Friday night, January 27th, in the Fellowship Hall. We'd love to have you join Donna and I as we take our 13th pilgrimage to Holy Land. One of the things you need to understand is that because of urban sprawl, today Bethlehem is connected to Jerusalem. At the time of Christ's birth, the two towns were 6 miles apart with terraced land, pasture land, in between. The land around Bethlehem is terraced. It provides perfect grazing territory for sheep, so much so that it is highly believed that the land around Bethlehem was reserved for animals required in the ritual of religious sacrifices in Jerusalem. So, the sheep in those flocks were sheep that would eventually be driven to the south side of the city of Jerusalem and sacrificed for the sins of the people. Both the Old and the New Testament say the same thing. He was led like a sheep to slaughter. The particular shepherds hired to watch those particular sheep were probably rejected and spurned at least by the religious system of that day in Jerusalem. They saw those people as too common to be involved in worship. Their job was to take care of the sacrifice, but they were too lowly to reap the benefits of the sacrifice. And God comes along and essentially says, "My son will come to everyone, and everyone can come to my son." And I want everybody here on this Christmas morning to understand the Lord Jesus wants to come to you. He wants to be involved in your life. And you might say, "But I can't get involved with Jesus. I got too many sins in my life. I've done this, I've done that, I've done everything else." You need to understand, if the shepherds were invited to come to his birth, and they were the only ones invited to come to his birth, you are invited. You are invited to come to him. Let's look at today's text in an expository manner. Verse 8. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." Living out. Often shepherds lived with the sheep. They didn't have another home to go to. That's where they just hung out all the time. In the fields, the pasture land immediately around the outskirts of Bethlehem. And they were keeping watch. They took turns. They had a shift. And this so happened to be the night shift. Verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. First of all, an angel of the Lord. In the Old Testament, an angel of the Lord was an exalted figure who appeared as God's messenger. Some identify this angel as a pre-incarnate Christ. However, here, I believe this angel was no more or less than the angel that's been showing up all the way along. Who? Gabriel. Gabriel has been in this story. He was in this story with Mary. He was in this story with Joseph. He's now in this story at the time of Christ's birth. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, doxa. The word really means God's visible presence. Now, one could quickly ask, are you saying that the shepherds saw God? I don't think so. To the Jew, the presence of God was thought of as a great light known as the Shekinah glory. This light began back in the days of the tabernacle. And in that particular setting, man could not see God himself, but he could see the light of God's presence. And I believe the shepherds were in the Shekinah of God's presence. And as they were in that bright light, in the middle of that night, in fact, the word for night here is a Greek word which is really indicating right at about the midnight hour. We are told that they were terrified. The King James Version, they were sore afraid. Megas. It is in the feminine gender, and it's the idea that they were alarmed. Joel Stocker's translation, they were like scared girls. I thought you'd get a kick out of that on Christmas morning. Moving right along, because I'll have to answer to my wife for that also today. Verse 10, 11, and 12. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." In these three verses, Gabriel's message comes to the shepherds. And he starts out by simply taking care of the current problem. What was the current problem? They were terrified. And so he begins by saying, don't be afraid. And then he goes on to eliminate their fear by the presence of joy. I love this. I bring you good news of great joy. They were afraid. And he says, calm down. Calm down. And I love the fact that he says, this calm delight will be for all people. In verse 11, the angel gives us a complete description of the newborn. His function is Savior. You see, my friends, everybody needs a Savior. Every person in this auditorium this morning needs a Savior. We have all sinned and come short of God's glory. The great news of today is a Savior has come. A Savior has been born to you. His office is Christ. He is the Messiah. And his dignity is, he is the Lord. And I see verse 12 as the angel saying, and if you don't believe this, shepherds, I'm going to prove it to you. And here's how. We continue with verses 13 and 14. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. It is as if before the shepherds had time to even respond or even say a word, this one angel is joined, we are told, by a great company of heavenly hosts. Now, I can't say exactly how many angels were present that evening over Bethlehem But where this exact same term is used in the Old Testament, we know that the number is 10,000 times 10,000. Do you know what that is? That's 100 million. 100 million. I would like for you to try and grasp this for illustration purposes. The big house seats 100,000. I know it's 110. Don't call me a liar for 6 or 8 or 10,000. For illustration purposes, 100,000. And let's say they had 10 games a year at the big house. I know it's 8 or 9 or something like that, but let's just say 10. If the big house was filled 10 games a year, do you know how many years it would take to get as many angels as they were in the sky that night? 100 years. 100 years of full big houses. 10 a year. I have always seen this as heaven exploding, and the epicenter of the explosion was, interestingly enough, not Jerusalem. The epicenter of this explosion from heaven are a half a dozen guys sitting out on some terrace outside Bethlehem . Incredible. Absolutely incredible. My friends, when heaven explodes, it'll explode to your home. It'll explode to your life if you're open to it. Verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let's see this thing which is come to pass." And verse 16, our final verse for this morning, says, "So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger." The King James Version says, "And they came with haste." The word means to accelerate and cut across. Let me explain. The implication is that the shepherds didn't have time to travel the ordinary pathways, but instead they simply cut across the fields to reach Bethlehem as fast as they could get there. I remember with fondness my first ever pilgrimage to the Holy Land. 32 years ago now. And our dear father, Matanya, who the Stocker family entered into a beautiful relationship with for a number of years, he was our guide. He was kind of the premier guide in all of Israel. And it was a small group. I think there was about a dozen of us or so, maybe 14 of us. I remember this with clarity. He took us on the motor coach outside of Bethlehem, and we got off the motor coach. And we walked to kind of an indentation in the side of the hill. It would be like the opening to a cave, only it didn't go back into a cave, but it was nonetheless an opening into the side of the hill. And we stood there, and he talked to us about the shepherds would allow their sheep to graze out there, and the shepherds would kind of hunker down in this little lean-to area here, so they had a little bit of shelter, but they could see their sheep right out in front of them. I was mesmerized. It just became so real to me. And then he said this. He said, "So let's go to the place where Jesus was born. And I want you to understand, when you take a trip to Israel, you go to a lot of spots where it's the spot where they kind of remember the incident, but you don't know for sure that it happened. That's not so with the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem Square. That church goes back to the 200s. And it's high probability that where the Church of the Nativity is where this manger was, where this cave was that he was born in. High probability. So Matanya says to us, let's go to the Church of the Nativity. And the motor coach had left. He did that on purpose. And so we started walking. And we walked no more than 3 or 4 blocks. And we were there. This isn't miles away. This is like from here to Aristocrat. Shorter. That's how close it was. And here's what we're told. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, Pastor, would you please help me understand, how did they find that baby? Well, first of all, you've got to understand, they are on the outskirts of a town the size of Crump. How many of you have been to Crump? Raise your hands. The rest of you are really missing it, let me tell you. And they were told specifically by Gabriel, what? That the baby was in a manger. Now I ask you a question. How many babies do you think are in a town the size of Crump lying in a manger in a cave at midnight? Yes. I love it when people are with me when I'm preaching. That's the highlight of my day right there, right there. I love it. Folks, let's get real. This was not a needle in a haystack. It was obvious. A baby in a manger in a cave in Crump. They walked right to it. This wasn't a search. This wasn't a New York City, I'm lost. This was, they got up and they went and they found. Just suppose with me that some of the shepherds, for whatever reason, chose not to go to the manger that night. And now years later, one of those men, who was but a youth then, is an old grandfather. I'd like to picture this old man with his grandson sitting on his knee, and he is telling this grandson of his about the most wonderful story ever told. It's about an angel sermon and an angel song. And he says, a long, long time ago, when I was just a little boy, I was out on the Judean hill one night with my dad, your grandfather. And we were keeping watch over the flocks. And then an angel of the Lord came to us. And the glory of the Lord shone around him. I want you to know, son, I was scared. But the angel said, fear not. For behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You shall find the child wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly, son, the sky was filled from horizon to horizon with heavenly beings. And they were all praising God. And they were all saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The little boy is sitting on his lap, listening to his grandfather's every word. And all of a sudden, the story abruptly stops. There's silence. And the boy turns and he says, Grandpa, what happened next? What did you do? What did you find? What did you see? Was it true? What the angel said, was it really true? Was the Christ child really born? Did God come in the form of a little baby and live among men? And his grandfather bows his head sadly. And he says, I don't know, son. You see, I never went. I just stayed with the sheep. Some of your uncles went. I didn't. And some say, it's just a myth. But others say, it's all true. They themselves saw the Christ child. But for me, I can never really be quite sure, because I never, ever did go to the manger. And the truth is, this morning, every person in this auditorium sits on a lonely hillside, dozing over the busyness of life. And when the truths of God are communicated in an unmistakable clarity, only we and God know our response. Only you and God know your response. I love how the message puts it. The message says, let's go to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves. During this series, as we've looked at now four characters in the Christmas story, I've poised a question at the close of every message, and that's simply this. What does that character say to us? 3 weeks ago, it was Mary. The altar was filled with ladies. And I said, what does Mary say to all of you? Last Sunday, it was Joseph. The altar was filled with men. Men, what does Joseph say to you? Last night, it was the innkeeper. The innkeeper spoke loud and clear to us last night. Today, it's the shepherds. What do the shepherds say to you on this Christmas morning? They say to us, get to that manger as fast as you can. And you will find what you're looking for in life. Let us pray. Lord, I just ask that in the closing moments of this service, on this Christmas morning, that every person would be honest with the voice of the Lord speaking to them and drawing them saying to them, you can go to a manger and you can find what you're looking for in life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm wondering how many would be here on this Christmas morning. In just a few moments, this service will be history. We'll walk out into our day and be on our way with our families and our travels and our food. But before we do all that, could you just slow down life for a second and answer a question? Have you made a trip to the manger? In faith, have you made a trip to a manger? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior? If you haven't, I want to give you the greatest present you will ever get last night or today or tomorrow. I want to give you what you're looking for in life. It's Jesus. You just got to trust me on this one. It's Jesus. It's Jesus what is missing in your life. It's not a new car. It's not a move. It's not a different job. It's not this present or that present. What you need in life is Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, giving privacy to everybody, if you're here and you'd say, Pastor Joel, by faith, I want to make that trip to the manger right now. I'm not going to put it off. I need the Christ of Christmas in my life. If that's you, raise your right hand up right now, all over the auditorium. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Keep them up. How many others? How many others? Yes, 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 sir. Anybody else? You can put your hands down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Look up here, please. There were a number of you who responded. You didn't respond to Pastor Joel. You responded to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because I want you to understand, inside of you is a void without Jesus. You're empty without Jesus. You'll never get it satisfied. But you've taken the first step and you've said, I need Jesus in my life. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something that is very critical to your future faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to make a public profession of that. If you raised your hand, the congregation is going to all stand, and about 8 or 10 or 12 of you who raised your hands, clear in the back, others up here, I'm going to ask you to come meet me at an altar. I'm going to have prayer with you, and you can go back with your family. Let us all stand. If you raised your hand, step out and come right now. Right over here, right back there. Come on, back over there. Over there, just step. That's good. Praise God. Praise God. Bless you. Just stand here. Just stand here. Come on, dear. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Oh, this is so good. Come here, dear. Others, there were others that raised their hands. You can just turn around and look at me. Then you don't have to look at those people, okay? Yes. Here's some more from over there. Praise God. Yes. 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 Okay, how many others? How many others would say, Pastor Joel, I didn't raise my hand, but there's something inside me that says I got to get to that altar right now? You see, the shepherds didn't say, we'll think about it and we'll do it next week or next month. No, you think about it, you won't do it. The scripture says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Whenever the Lord is speaking to you, respond. Anybody else? You didn't raise your hand, just come right now. You know you want to be here. Anybody else? I don't want to leave you out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am so excited for all of you. I'm so excited for each and every one of you who are saying yes to Jesus on Christmas Day. This is going to be the best Christmas you've ever had in your life. It is. I don't know who you are, but God's got something very special for you, my dear lady. Jesus is going to come into your life in a powerful way. Let's pray. Father God, I love you so much. I thank you for these that have come to the altar today, and they are saying yes to Jesus. I'm so thankful that they've had a choice, and the choice was not, I'm going to sit on the outskirts and just hear about a story. No, I'm going to come and see Jesus. I'm going to receive Jesus into my heart and into my life. The Lord says in the scriptures that you come to live in us by faith. And so Jesus, now we profess that we're sinners and we need you. And by faith, on Christmas morning, we receive you into our heart and into our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Come on, church. Let's thank Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Such a beautiful, beautiful sense of receiving Jesus into their lives right here, right now. Now, I want you all to know that you can't go it on your own. You need help. You need help. And I want you to know there's a bunch of people here who are willing to help you. Would you turn around, please? I'd like to introduce you to people who would help you. Would you just greet all of them right now? Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Here's what the scripture says. Here's what the scripture says. When one is found, all of heaven rejoices. So there was that party on the night that Jesus was born. Well, I want you to know there's a party in heaven going on right now over what took place at this altar. That's the truth. That's the truth. You can go back to your seats. You can go back to your seats. Are you glad you came to church on Christmas morning now? Better believe it. Just be seated for a moment, please. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to receive an offering. Ushers, would you please prepare to receive our Christmas morning offering? You can come forward. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're so good to us. We have because you gave. If you wouldn't have given, we wouldn't have salvation. We are most like you when we give. And I ask now that you would bless gift and giver on this Christmas morning. In Christ's name. Amen. Just before you receive the offering, this is our last offering that we'll receive in the year of 16. I'll talk to you as the offering is being received, how you can bring year-end gifts in, but this is the last opportunity you'll have to give it an offering. God bless you as you give. Thank you, ushers, for serving us. The way the calendar falls this year, this is our last service in the year of 16. Our next service is next week, New Year's Day. And again, we will have a 10 o'clock abbreviated service. We are close to being dismissed, and we've been in service for 48 minutes. So, miracles never cease. They never cease. Donna said, you're scaring me. I feel like a scared girl right now, okay? If you want to have year-end giving for tithe or whatever, you can go online and do that. You can text that. You can bring it to the church office. The office will be open all week long from 8 in the morning until 5 up through Friday night, the 30th. And all your gifts must be postmarked or brought in by, of course, the 31st. If you purchased a poinsettia, you know if that's you, feel free to take yours home today. Let's stand. Oh, come, all ye faithful.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant.
Ladies, would you sing the chorus?
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
Men, it's our turn. Men,
oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
Everyone together.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the
pray that the rest of your day would be blessed of the Lord. As you meet with your families, you open your presents, you have your meals. Miss Donna and I will be in the car all day, headed to Wisconsin. We'll get to our destination about 7 o'clock this evening, and we'll open presents tomorrow morning. I'll be too tired to open any presents tonight. Thank you for coming to service today. I pray the Lord would bless you and keep you. The Lord would make his face to shine upon you. And I ask that the Lord would help you never, ever to forget this Christmas Sunday when 8 or 9 people said yes to going to the manger. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you.